Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The title of my teaching this morning is The Power of Fellowship. And I would like to share the background on how this came about, this particular teaching. A little over a week ago, I asked Anthony Sakwa, a dynamic minister in Kenya, Africa, to share a message from the scriptures. And he has been such a dynamo for God in his area. And we've had a wonderful fellowship, he and I, for a couple years now. And he quickly grew in the knowledge of the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was a subject that he was interested in. Actually, that's what connected us, was his hunger for knowing about speaking in tongues. And so was able to share some things from God's word in that area. And he's become an expert on speaking in tongues. He's led hundreds and hundreds of people into this powerful manifestation. And not only does he minister at his local church, but he travels to other places in his country and to neighboring nations as well to teach and to minister. And Acts Now Fellowship has been able to help support his efforts. We've sent him hundreds and hundreds of booklets on speaking in tongues, and another booklet is Your New Life in Christ, and both of them are in Swahili, which is the language most of them speak. So that's a little background on my connection with him. So earlier this week, Anthony sent me some notes on a teaching he called The Power of Fellowship. And as the week went by, I realized what he shared and what challenges we are going through in light of COVID-19 pandemic, that this would be a very beneficial sharing. So I asked him if I could develop a teaching from his notes and share it with the believers here, and he was gracious to say yes. So I thank you, Anthony, for your supplying the essentials to this sharing. And Anthony always checks the teachings from the conference call fellowships that we do on Facebook or on our website. He's really blessed to be able to have those, and he shares them with his ministers and believers there. Well, when you think about what fellowship is, it is easy to recognize how important it is for believers to have connections with the Heavenly Father and with one another. And when you realize what is missing when you cannot fellowship, it becomes even more clear how vital it is. And during these times, we've experienced that, haven't we? You know, everything Jesus Christ did in the redemption of mankind was for the benefit of connecting man to God Almighty, and do this as a child, that we could be children of the Heavenly Father. And that's the main purpose of his efforts, is that we could fellowship together with the Heavenly Father, with him and with like-minded believers. So you and I were bought with a price, so we fully belong to him. And he wants to fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Heavenly Father in everything. You know, we need a Heavenly Father to grow with. And this is certainly true in our nature and how we live life. For children to grow up in families that have a dad and mom, that's ideal. And we've seen drastic statistics of children growing up without fathers. The experts have said that those who have not grown up in having fathers are more likely to be aggressive, depressed, have low self-esteem, do poorly in school, be incarcerated and commit crimes and use drugs. So it's tough times. A lot of people have grown up with single parents. And some of you have experienced that. Many of you in those situations, though, have provided God's word and the Heavenly Father to fill that gap. So, how powerful is fellowship? Very powerful. When we realize what God has arranged for us as His children, and man, I heard those manifestations about all the blessings that He's given to us, and that He's called us before the beginning of the world, and that He's given us His best. Man, oh man, why not connect with Him? Why not have fellowship with our Heavenly Father and our God? His promises for us are just exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. My goodness. The old devil, though, he's out there. He's using this COVID-19 to isolate. Keep believers from fellowship. Separate and isolate. That's his agenda. And it's unfortunate, but that we cannot have face-to-face fellowship. But I think soon we'll be able to do that. But I'm thankful we're able to do this conference call fellowship and connect that way and have those connections and that fellowship to encourage each other, to pray for each other, to minister each other, to teach God's word with each other. And our fellowship with the Father is most important. And thankfully, the devil cannot stop that. We've got speaking in tongues. We can operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. We can magnify Him and give Him thanks well as we speak in tongues. And He can talk to us via word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. It's an awesome fellowship that we can have one with another. Man, oh man. As born-again ones, we treasure our time together. For there is power in fellowship with each other. The power of fellowship opens the doors for us to reach out and move God's word over the world. As we work together as a fellowship of believers, as a ministry, we can do much, much more than if we individually tried to do it. So as we work together as a family, supporting each other, encouraging each other, we can do great things. You know, even in the world, they recognize the value of working together in groups, teams, gangs, clubs, associations, and families to get more done and to have a sense of fulfillment than what a bunch of individuals could do. The Bible teaches us to value the power of families. And we see this all through God's word. You know, Abraham, he couldn't wait to have a child. It took quite a while, a bit of time for him to have his first son, but he did have his family, and God gave him that vision. And the Israelites, they were connected and had their relationship together. Jesus Christ just didn't do it by himself, but he had the 12 apostles. Those were significant for him to have those connections, that family of supporters. And of course, now the one body of Christ, that's what we have today. It's all about all for one and one for all. For the one body of Christ is what God has set up in these times so that we can work together and do the great things that God has called us to do. You know, when I first got into God's word, I saw the value of the power of fellowship, a group doing more than just an individual. I was a sophomore at East Carolina University when I first got into God's word. And I was witnessed to by another gentleman that was recruited to play basketball from Cleveland, Ohio, and we met each other. He shared the word, and I was on fire because I was very hungry to know the truth. And our next year, our junior year, he and I, we talked to a lot of folks, and we got a couple people in the word. And the following year, the next year, our senior year, the ministry organized a home outreach center. They bought a house, and the four of us, the two guys that we reached the previous year, and Tim and I got together. And then also there was the coordinator, Tim Somerville's brother, John, and his wife and young daughter. And we became a committed unit. We had a loving family. We were together, and we had great vision of moving the word on that campus. And we became a community, and we saw close to 100 people take the ministry extensive Bible class that gets people born again and speaking in tongues. So I know a group of believers working with God and together can unleash the great power of God. And in the book of Acts, we see how the believers functioned. Even right in the beginning, the early church started recognizing the value of working together. Acts 2:42, I'll share that with you. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They, those that the 12 apostles at first received, and then those several thousand people, they got in the word right away. And the next verse, 43, says, and fear or reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So as the believers worked together, they saw great things happen. So what makes this fantastic family of God work? What do we do to experience the power of family? Well, to me, there are three basic steps for us to recognize and to do to really experience the power of fellowship. Number one, the experience of power, experiencing the power of fellowship. Number one, make the connection to the Heavenly Father with the agape love of God. Mark 12, verse 30 is a great verse that says we should love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. You know, we need to reach out to God. He's loved us. He's given us His love word. So we need to love Him back first and foremost. John 13, if you want to look at that. Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And this is this agape love. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we love each other. But first, we love our God. Now, you might say, that's not so easy to do. How can I love God's way? Well, when you got born again, God gave you the capacity to love the agape style. And He did that through the gift of Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. In this particular verse, Romans 5:5, it says in the latter part of the verse that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So God has given us the capacity, the ability to love with the love of God. And so if we're going to experience the power of fellowship, we first want to connect with our Heavenly Father and love Him with this agape love that He's given to us. And man, that's the great fellowship that we want to cherish, our fellowship with our Father, first and foremost. Well, number two, to experience the power of fellowship, we make the connection to Christ. Our life becomes Christ-centered. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. You know, in chapter 1, verse 27, it talks about that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then there's some other great encouragement here in chapter 2. We'll start in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Boy, isn't that awesome? That's why we want to have that connection to Christ, to recognize that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we can walk in him. Hebrews chapter 12. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. You know, in chapter 11, we see the heroes of believing, the great examples of various believers that God put in his word that believed him. And now in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we see, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we've been compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, great believers that we can read about and learn from their believing so that we can incorporate that into our life. But verse 2, don't forget verse 2, because it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All right, we have a race. And as we run that race, we have many wonderful examples of believers believing God and seeing great signs, wonders, and miracles. But as we run that race, we see the finish line. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That was his race, the cross, so that he could pay the ultimate price for you and me. Despising the shame, the verse goes on, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. And he's making intercession for the saints, it says, for you and I. We have Christ within. We are complete in him. We can believe like him. Our life becomes Christ-centered. And that's a great key for us to experience the power of fellowship in our life. Now, number three, to experience the power of fellowship, we make the connection with our fellow believers, one with another. Go to Romans chapter 12. You know, we've been called to one body, so we connect with each other. You know, wherever we're at, wherever those fellowships are happening, we work together. We are much more powerful if we work together as a family of believers than if we're split apart trying to do our own thing. Well, Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And that brotherly love is the Greek word Philadelphia. Perhaps you're familiar with that. So we love each other. We prefer one another. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 has some enlightening information for us. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See, we just want to love each other, love one another. God has given us that capacity to do that. Wow. Well, I want to close with a section of Scripture that I think puts a lot of this together. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 if you want to turn there. But again, in remembering about how to experience the power of fellowship. Number one, make that connection to the Heavenly Father with agape love. That's the first part of having fellowship. We're going to have great power of fellowship when we're connected with Him. So we want to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then number two, we make the connection to Christ. We have a Christ-centered life. We know who He is, and He lives within us. It's all about Him in us. Our focus is on Christ. That's who we talk about. We talk about Christ. And then number three, as I shared, we make that connection with one another, with our fellow believers. We are all called to one body to function. And we put on the mind of Christ as we do that. So, let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, or that word consolation is a word I shared with you, paraklesis, in the Greek, and it's encouragement. I shared that, I think, a week ago. So if there's therefore any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Wow. So let's really tap into this power of fellowship. Let's make that connection with the Heavenly Father and have that sweet fellowship first and foremost. And then we're connected to who we are in Christ. And then in our walk, daily walk, we connect with believers. We fellowship one with another. And I'm so thankful that you, all of you, would call in and take the time to be a part of this. You know, I wish we could be face to face and hug each other and encourage each other and minister to each other. But we'll do our best on what's available. So, in closing, there's nothing more powerful than the fellowship of Christians working together with their Heavenly Father and one another. As we connect with the Heavenly Father, as we connect with the power of Christ in us, and as we connect with our fellow believers, we will experience the power of God in manifestation unlike we have ever experienced before. And I would like to quote Anthony Sakwa in his message when he shared the scriptures with me on this subject. And he closed out his sharing with these words: God bless you so much, great and awesome brothers and sisters in Christ. In our union with Christ, we will be able to pray for one another in love. I love you all and praying for you always. Boy, what a wonderful connection we have with the man of God on the other side of the world in Africa. And yet he loves us so, so much and prays for us. And we do him as well. Well, God bless your hearts. I'm real thankful that I can share this. And my prayer and my hope is that we can incorporate these things into our everyday living, that we can just put on Christ, that we can fellowship with our Father, and that we can really work together as a body of Christ, as a ministry, as a group of believers that want to hold forth the words of life. That's what really counts, the words of life. Well, God bless you all.